بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This Monday, 17th day of Ramadan, 1438 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Today, as usual, inshallah, we shall continue from where we stopped. And we are reading Surah Al-Imran. In Surah Al-Imran, we have read up to the 141st verse. Am I correct? وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining why he had to test the Muslims, why they had to be defeated in Uhud. And any time that the Muslims go through any hardship, the reason is, or part of the reasons is, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may use that to purify those who believe from their sins, because it will be a source of kafara for them, inshaAllah. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And those who are killed amongst the kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have destroyed them. So Allah is saying, if they kill you, it will be a source of purification for you from your sins. And if you kill them, then you would have destroyed them. And then, of course, their abode will be hellfire. Iyadhan billah. So that's where we stopped. Inshallah ta'ala, today we shall continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still be reminding the Muslims of the fact that try a compulsory, if for no other reason, to strengthen your faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the trials that he sends upon his servants to be able to determine who is a true believer and who is not, even though he knows. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows, but you know, if some things are decided by Allah without you seeing yourself, you may say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was oppressive. But if he lets you see yourself, who you are, he will test you, and then you will by yourself prove who you are. If you are a mu'min, you will show it. If you are not a mu'min, you will show it from your actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries Muslims to bring these out. Inshallah ta'ala, that's where we should begin. But I want to make an announcement, lest I forget, because I may forget if I don't make it now that I've remembered. Somebody called me and said he's from Oshun State yesterday, said he's Brother Tajuddin. I can give you his number if you want to get in touch with him. There is a Dawra that's supposed to happen in Oshun. You know, some ulama from Saudi Arabia. It'll be like a seminar for 5 days, from the first Friday after Ramadan till Wednesday, so about 5-6 days, be a dawra, like a seminar. They will teach you and then they will test you after that. I used to know that in the Doura, successful candidates used to automatically gain admission to the Islamic University of Medina. So if there are people that are interested, then they should go and attend that Doura. You can get in contact with the brother so he will tell you the details. You have to be good in Arabic because the Doura is going to be in Arabic. And I used to know that it was mostly Hadith, Fiqh, Arabiya, and of course Tajweed and things like that, the Quran. So that from there they would choose students who will go and specialize in the Quran. If you are a Hafiz, they will choose Hadith, those who will go to the Kulliyah of Hadith, and then Fiqh, then like that. What I used to know is that they used to also have the Kulliyah of Da'wah, in which you are mostly taught Aqeedah, and then you will also be taught the methodologies of passing the message across to others. So like you become an educationist, you know how to teach and so on. So they have all these, and then they also have the Kulliyah of Lugha. So Wallahu Ta'ala Alam, if the Doura is still like that, then that's what will be achieved at the end. If it's not like that, at least you'll be educated. Because the seminar is always very, very educating, very enlightening, and you get the opportunity to ask them questions. So those who are interested can meet me. I'll give you the brother's phone number. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless whatever efforts we make. Naam.
أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويعلم الصالحين.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ويعلم الصابرين. أم حسبتم. Do you think or do you imagine أن تدخلوا الجنة that you will be admitted into الجنة ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not tested you to see who out of you will be the true mujahid, ويعلم الصابرين, and who is actually or who are actually the patient and persevering. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not tested you, because ya'lam, Allah huwa al-alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, is the all-knowing. So here he's saying when Allah has not known, what it means is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not tested you to show who is actually the mujahid, the true mujahid, the one who fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who is patient. When Allah has not tested you to bring these out of you, you just cannot expect that you enter al-Jannah. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another surah, أَمْ حَسَبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think that you will enter al-Jannah when the similitude or something similar to what happened to those before you has not happened to you? It's not possible. You will be tested. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. So they went through all sorts of trials. They went through all sorts of trials, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day declared them prosperous, declared them victorious because they were patient, because they persevered. So you also have to go through the same. There is no way victory just comes to you like that. Even if what you're pursuing is just money, you know it doesn't just come like that. There are trials you have to go through. Even as you try to make money, on some days you lose. You record serious losses. You know, it is said that even the man who started Coca-Cola, that the first year, what he spent on adverts alone was equivalent to what he actually sold. So at the end of the day, there was no issue of profit, but loss. Because he spent so much just trying to get people to know the thing. And on so many occasions, big businesses like that have had serious trials. I was watching a man on TV he was about 90 years old or so. And they were telling the story of his efforts in business. And he tried business about 6 times and failed. And he was recording woeful losses. But then somehow he would come back again and give it a try. At the end of the day, at that time he was celebrating 90 years, he was such a very, very rich man. Stupendously rich. But he went through a lot of trials. So even if it's just money you are pursuing, which is actually fitna, at the end of the day, it becomes fitna to you. It will become the reason why you go to Jahannam. Money is the reason why some people are in Jahannam and they will be there forever. You know that? The story of the people of the gardens in Surah Al-Kahf. You know that? وَضَرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. And like that and like that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ or وَكَانَ لَهُمْ ثَمَرٌ. You know, it's recited like that. You are going to correct me. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ أَوْ وَكَانَ لَهُ ثُمُرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. He became boastful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him wealth. Rather than thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became boastful. And that made him a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all that he gave him at the end of the day. And then what did he do? أَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. So his wealth made him a mushrik. You know Qarun, the same thing happened to him. People said to him, وَبْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preached to us like that. When Qarun was told to give out of his wealth, to do this and that, he said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He became a kafir as a result of that, as a result of the wealth that he had acquired. So money is actually fitna to us. In اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولحم وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة والذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث. ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardly praises money. Of course there are one or two occasions on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to wealth as khair. But it is wealth that was gotten through the right channel, not just any money. But most of the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to wealth, money as fitna. But then even if it is money you're looking for, you have to make a lot of sacrifices. Sometimes you face a lot of trials. Sometimes you rise and fall like that until finally you succeed. If you ask businessmen, they will tell you how difficult it is. That is money that is not even guaranteed. It does not guarantee you Jannah. Most of the people who have made money are eating haram. They are eating fire in their stomachs. Allah says so. Like the one who eats the mal of yatama. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. It's money that they are consuming. But because they are not consuming it through the right means, they are not earning it through the right means, Allah says it's fire that they are consuming. But even that, you have to go through trials. So if it's Jannah you want, Jannah is more difficult to obtain than money. Because Jannah is more prestigious than money. It has more guarantee than money. Because when you get to Jannah, you rest forever. Eternally you will rest. Sometimes when you make money, that's when rest departs from you. Some people make money and they will never rest again. You know, those who have made money, they are the ones that cannot sleep because they want to continue to have that money. They don't want the money to end. So they hop from one country to the other, trying to keep the money, to maintain the money, so it doesn't disappear. When they had no money, they were more at rest. But now that they have money, they are on their toes. Al-Jannah is more prestigious than that. Once you have Al-Jannah, you rest forever. You have peace of mind. In Al-Jannah, you get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the assurances you have, you get all the pleasures of Al-Jannah, yet there will be something you seek. And that is what? Huh? Not seeing Allah now. Seeing Allah is a major thing you will seek. You will seek that Allah be pleased with you. When you have gotten that, nothing again will ever disturb you. In Al-Jannah, even the bile that you have will be taken off. You will not be resurrected with your bile again. So you don't feel sad, you never get sad. And you will never be envious of anyone. You will never bear any grudge against anyone. You won't even have the ability to do it again. So the man who killed you on earth, if Allah brings him to Al-Jannah, he becomes your best of friends. You won't even remember that he hurt you. Because it's peace that you will have till the end of time. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So that's all you say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. You're just contented with everything. That's Jannah, you can't get it like that. If it is so expensive, then the efforts you make to obtain it will also have to be great. And so you have to persevere. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, is reminding us of the fact that we can't get Jannah just like that without being tested. If Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was tested, every other person will have to be tested. So what do we need to pass the test? First of all, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you seriously need to know Allah. And that's why you must read Tawheed. You must read Tawheed. All the books of Tawheed you can get, which are authentic, you must be taught them by qualified people. You must read the Aqeedah of the Muslims. What you must believe, what the Prophet believed and wants you to believe. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That way you will know Allah. So that way you'll be able to know what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you realize that this comes from Allah, you submit. So you don't let it worry you. You already knew it would be coming. So the fact that it has come does not change anything. And your life just goes on. But then why I said you have to know Allah? You shouldn't get to the level, degenerate to the level of tawakul, instead of tawakkul. Tawakkul is different from tawakkul. Tawakkul is you leave everything which Allah wants you to do in order to obtain His mercy. And you just say, Allah's mercy, that's all. We don't have to do anything. We just seek Allah's mercy and we'll get it. This is tawakkul. But إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran to work and then seek Allah's blessings. To work and then ask Allah to bless the work and accept it from us. Not to sit down and say, oh Allah, help me. And there is no work which earns you the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawakkul. So you have to know Allah even before you seek from Him. You know, Allah teaches us in the Quran. When you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, you have praised Allah. And Allah wants you to praise Him before you ask Him for anything. And then before you ask, before you say dua, Allah also teaches you to do what? Says, Iyyaka na'budu. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. If you have truly, truly met this condition, then you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So you only qualify to do dua, to pray to Allah, when you have worked in accordance with the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not everybody that's qualified to pray. Just say, oh Allah, oh Allah. And then, وَمَطْعَمُكَ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُكَ حَرَامٌ وَأَنْتَ لَا تُوَحِّدُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بَلْ لَا تُمَيِّزُ بَيْنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَرَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You can't even say the difference between Allah and Shaytan. You know, we have people now that they engage in these awrad shaytaniya, and they say, they are telling Allah, they are praying to Allah. Say, that man, he doesn't sleep. He tells Allah, and Allah answers his prayer. What does he tell Allah? Says, Ya kabaka ya ilu, ya ratatata ya ilu, ya tabatabar ya ilu. And they say he's talking to Allah. Who is Allah in this statement? What is ya ilu? Is it the name of Allah? It's a jinn that you are calling. You say all of this and you say you're calling Allah, you're calling Shaytan. And I heard somebody teaching somebody a weird one day. He says, Allah, Jibreel, Muhammadu, Shaytan. Ah, subhanallah. And he says he's praying to Allah. My brother, this won't get you anywhere because you are worshipping the Shaytan when you do that. How can you combine the name of Allah, Muhammad, and the Shaytan and Jibreel? Put together and you're asking for help. Who out of them are you asking for help? The Allah and Shaytan put together? These do not go together. So, you have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to pass His test. Because you have to know what is the test by Allah and what is it that you have to fight. What is it that will happen when you say, I submit to Allah? What is it that you happen you say, no, you have to fight this because this is from the Shaytan. You have to know the difference between Allah and Shaytan before you can even say that you are actually depending on Allah. When you have done that, then know that Allah will try you. And when Allah tries you, what Allah demands from you is patience and perseverance. Because Allah will definitely want to know, is your faith, your claim to faith, is it true or is it false? Allah will test it. And so be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't forget, is addressing the mu'minun that were tried in Uhud. Do you understand? So Allah says what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولقد كنتم تمنون الموت من قبل أن تلقوه فقد رأيتموه وأنتم تنظرون. Allah says, and verily you used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a condition, to bring the precedent to death. That is war. You were asking for war because you were oppressed, because people were killing you and taking your rights, taking your property, chasing you away from your homes, making you orphans, making you destitute, making you, you know, like that, making you displacing you. And you were tired of that, so you wanted to fight to defend yourselves. And you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring that condition under which you would fight. Of course, that you are asking for death means that you are asking for war, in which definitely some people had to die. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought it. فَقَدَ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ. Now you have seen it. أي أسبابه. You have seen what leads to death. That is war, battle, and all the things that happen in it. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you all know. You now know it, you have seen it, and you know. Because they said that تَنْظُرُونَ means تعلمون. That Allah is talking about ilm here. أي وأنتم تنظرون ليعلم أن المراد بالرؤية النظر. So anyway, what is referred to here is you will now see. You now see all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show you. What you wanted to see, you have now seen. And you are also looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is there before you. You are seeing all that has happened. The trial that you asked for have now come to you. So what will you do? Will you be patient? Or what will you do? Will you run from it? Of course, what you should do will be to be patient. Now that you're looking at Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he is there before you, he has been sent, he has led you, and now what will happen has happened. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you after that? Allah says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ نعم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتلا انقلبتم على أعقابكم. What is the conclusion? ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. Allah says وما محمد. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is nothing illa rasulun, but the messenger of Allah. Is not anything but the messenger of Allah. Is only a messenger. Illa rasulun. He is only a messenger out of all the messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. There are prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised before him. Prophets have gone before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What is the sababun nuzul of this ayah? Simply put, it is about the battle of Uhud. When Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam went to fight the battle of Uhud, There was one Sahabi of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam known as Abdullah ibn Jubair. Abdullah ibn Jubair was a brother to Khawat bin Jubair. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them at a particular place, a little high, by the mount, and said, stay here. Stay here and wait for me. While we are fighting these ones in front of us, there may be some of them that will come from behind us. So make sure you keep watch. And keep throwing the weapons you have towards their direction so that they do not come to us, to deter them from coming to us. And keep them busy. But stay here, don't move. Inshallah, we will be victorious. We will be victorious. But what I ask of you is that you wait here. But then, of course, you know the story. Like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the kuffar were killed and Muslims were gaining the upper hand. And when these people saw that, they forgot the command of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. That Rasul said, wait for me here, don't go anywhere. And this is the duty, this is the role that you play if you stay here. They forgot that. They saw that there was a ghanima and they went for it. And these kuffar that were waiting here now took advantage of that, and so many of them were killed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was wounded in that battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was bloodied and his tooth was broken. That was when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, it was after that battle that he said, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever have mercy on the people that have injured their Prophet this much? Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So at the time, some people began to say that the Prophet was dead. That Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has been killed. You know, Muslims got demoralized in this battle. Muslims got demoralized when they began to hear that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this verse. وَفَشَى فِي النَّاسِ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدُ قُتِلَ. It was, the news was spread that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم had been killed. فَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَيْتَ لَنَا رَسُولًا إِلَىٰ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ أُبَيْ فَيَأْخُذَ لَنَا أَمَانًا مِنْ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ. سبحان الله. So many terrible things began to happen between the Muslims. Because you know, when there is a trial, only the very strong will stand. The weak, even if they are just a little weak, when there is serious trial, most of the time you see people breaking. You see people unable to continue. They get discouraged. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens you. That's why you should always be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in taqwa, to purify your heart and distance you from all those weaknesses that may injure your iman. So you say, Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Oh, ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghif. أصلح لنا أصلح لي شأني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. Some of these أدعية you continue to say so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to protect you, so that no matter how hard things get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave you alone. He will always be with you. His assistance will be with you, and inshallah ta'ala you always continue to be victorious. If not, the trials that come to people always are so much that sometimes they break you. This ayah, it was as if the Muslims forgot this ayah. At a time, the Muslims almost forgot this ayah. When the Muslims were told that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died, you know, at Uhud, it was said that he had died. Then people now realize later that he actually had not died, because this ayah was sent to remind people of the fact that in the first place, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only a human being. He is nothing but a messenger. Those who today say that Muhammad is not a human being, they are disagreeing with this ayah. They are disagreeing with some ayat of the Quran. Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Tell them that I'm only a human being like you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another surah, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم منهم شاهد منهم from them, from amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam from amongst the Meccans. He is a human being like them. He had a father and a mother. He had uncles, he had brothers. He had cousins. He had cousins. So he was just like them. So Allah is reminding the Muslims of the fact that if they say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died, there's actually nothing strange about him dying. He is a human being and he must die. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everybody must die. So it's not a strange thing that Muhammad has died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, but if he is dead, see the things that some people are already saying. If only we could have this and that to be our leader, since now the Prophet has died. If only we could return to this person. They are already looking for an alternative to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a trial that came upon some of the Sahaba. Of course, people make mistakes sometimes and then realize and seek Allah's forgiveness, and Allah will forgive them. The Sahaba were human beings too. Allah is reminding them of the fact that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only a human being. Therefore, what happens to other human beings can happen to him unless Allah has protected him from a particular thing, which will never happen to him. If not, ordinarily, as a human being, he will live, he will die. He will get hungry, sometimes he will eat, and so on and so forth. He will sleep and wake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولًا قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but a messenger of Allah. Before him there were messengers. What happened to them? They all died. They all died when it was time. And so he too will die. So do not become kuffar after he has died. Do not hold on to an alternative because he has died. Because the important thing about him you already have. And that is what? The message. That's why he always used to pray to Allah. He used to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, be a witness. Be a witness, O Allah. The message you gave me, I have delivered. I have delivered my message, be a witness, O Allah. And the Sahaba used to hear that. Sometimes he would say, Hal ballagt? Have I delivered the message? Have I delivered the message? So that you will know that the important thing is the message. He is not a god to be worshipped. He is not an object of worship. That's why he can go, he can die, and you can stay without him after his death. Now he is dead, we are staying without him. But what we can't stay without is the message that he came with. Let's not ever forget that. When you respect your alim, when you love your alim, know that it is the message that came through him that is the reason why you love him, not he himself. You love him, of course, as a person, but the important thing about him is his message. So that if today he leaves his message, and holds on to something else, you say, bye bye, sir. It was the message I loved. I've gotten the message. If you go, you go alone. The message stays with me. You understand? That way, nobody will get you to change like a chameleon and play around with you. Once you have gotten the message, you have gotten what Allah says you should obtain from Him. If He decides to turn His back on His message, you don't have to follow Him. I hope this is understood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Sahaba of the possibility of his dying. In fact, that he must die. So that if he dies, أَوْ قُتِلَ, that is, if he was not killed, he just died, or he was killed in the battle. إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Will you now go back to your kufr, what you were on before? Will you now go back to it and abandon Islam because the Prophet is dead? How about Allah who sent the Prophet? How about the Quran with which the Prophet came? Aren't they important to you? Of course they are important to you. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is very important to the Muslims. That's why even if it's a million years after his death, we don't allow anybody to insult him in the name of arts. We hold on to that. And every day we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. We always say that. And we read the ayah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, wallazina ma'ahu ashiddao ala al-kuffar, till the end of the ayah. We always recite those and so many other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him. We revere him, we respect him, we don't worship him. We beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him al-maqamul mahmud, but we do not worship him. Each time the muazzin calls to prayer, after the call we say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammah was-salati al-qa'imah ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadilata wa ba'athhu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta. We always say this. And when we do as-salatu ala an-nabi, when we do at-tahiyya, we say as-salamu ala an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah as-salihin. Yes, we do all of that. We have a lot of respect for him. But we do not worship him. We do not worship him because he is not an object of worship. That's why before he died, he kept warning the Sahaba, La taturuni kama ataratin nasara Isa ibn Maryam. Do not go to the extreme in praising me. Do not go to the extreme in revering me. Make sure you place a demarcation. Make sure you make a difference. You always know the difference between me and Allah. I am not an object of worship. And he said also, may Allah curse the Yahud and the Nasara. Their problem was, if a prophet died amongst them, they would bury him and build a mosque above him, and then they at his grave, and then they would be worshipping there. Do not do that to me. Do not hold pictures in the mosque and so on. Do not do all those things that the unbelievers did. He himself used to warn the Sahaba concerning that. And you know, even while he was living, he said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَتَمَثَّلَ النَّاسُ لَهُ قِيَامًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. If it pleases you that people rise to show you respect when you arrive, when they just see you, oh, they all rise. Until you sit, they will not sit. If it pleases you that people do that to you, then my brother, choose your seat in Jahannam. Automatically, you are min ashab al-jahim. You must go to hellfire. Because you have kibr in you, which is only the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must make this difference. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. Messengers are not meant to be worshipped. Messengers will die. So if he dies, Do not get back to kufr. Remain a Muslim. Gain from the message that he has brought. The message will be more important for you now, since the Prophet is not alive. But the Prophet remains very important to you because he brought that message. So you will not forget the importance of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, but then it stops at his importance as a messenger, just like others were also messengers. I hope this message is clear. I hope I have delivered it to. أَفَا إِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he dies or is killed, will you now go back to kufr and say, because the Prophet is dead, there is no more Islam? Like some people did, Ahlul Ridda, in the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, they said they will no longer give zakah to anybody because Allah said, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. He was talking to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the Prophet is no more. So who will collect it? We won't give anybody. And Abu Bakr said, I will go to war with them. The Sahaba said, no. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that we must not kill Muslims. That once people say La ilaha illallah, it's not right to fight wars with them. So we can't kill them. He said, I will not spare anybody who separates between Salah and Zakah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always combining them. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said there are three pairs. If you separate them, you lose your iman. Do not ever separate them. They are pairs and they must always appear together. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. There is no way you say like the shaytaniyun today who say they follow the Quran but they have nothing to do with the hadith. Allah has nothing to do with them. Because it's only the hadith that must explain the Quran. In the first place, you do not believe in the hadith. How do you believe in the Quran? It is the hadith that brought about the Quran. Because the Quran was related. It was reported like the hadith was reported. It was only reported that this was an ayah of the Quran. This was an ayah of the Quran. And they had to say, haddathani fulan, haddathani fulan. قال إن هذه من آيات آية من آيات القرآن إن هذه سورة من سور القرآن. Before it was compiled and called the Mus'haf, now that you know. So it came as hadith. It was reported. All the qira'at with which you recite the Quran, all the riwayat in which you recite the Quran, all of them were reported like Bukhari and Muslim were reported in forms of ahadith. So if you say you do not believe the hadith, then you do not believe the Quran itself. So these two must go together. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. These two must go together. Then what? Aqimu salata wa atu zakata. These two also must go together. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. These two must go together. If you worship Allah, but you are not kind to your parents, Allah does not like your worship. La ilaha illallah. This ayah is supposed to make us cry, wallahi. Because most of us should look back and see our relationship with our parents. Is it good or is it bad? If it's bad, it affects your ibadah. It affects your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah reform us. And may our relationship with our parents be good. If they are already dead, then you continue to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you wherever you made mistakes concerning your relationship with your parents. If they are alive, then make sure you seize that opportunity to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these pairs cannot be separated. So Abu Bakr said, I cannot accept people separating between Salah and Zakah. And so he fought them, and the Sahaba now realized that yes, he knew what he saw, and they joined him and fought. When it was said that the Prophet had died, some people said nobody should mention that the Prophet has died. How can you say the Prophet has died? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, was the only one who remembered this ayah. And he reminded the Sahaba of this ayah. Because a Sahabi of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam has said, if anybody says that the Prophet has died, I will take off their head. So Abu Bakr came, was not afraid of that threat. Then he said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَّتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ. Umar had Iman. The greatest thing that Umar wanted in his life was the Quran. That's why when he was reciting it in Salah, the Sahaba at the end of the mosque would be hearing him cry when he reads some ayat. Umar had stern faith in the Quran. So if you wanted to weaken him, just use the Quran. So how are you? If you get angry, does the Quran quell your anger? If it does not, check your iman. If you have students around you who will be such that no matter how angry you get, they just recite a verse of the Quran and it will be as if water was poured on fire, then you know insha'Allah ta'ala that you have iman. So when Umar just heard that ayah, all the rage in him was killed. And he said, wallahi, it is as if I never heard that ayah until that day. I forgot that verse until Abu Bakr as-Siddiq recited it. That's why the Sahaba were all agreed that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the most qualified person to lead them. Because when they got confused, it was only him that would bring them back to track. When they forgot some ayat, it would be him to remind them of those ayat. So he naturally was the one that Allah gave control of the rest of the Sahaba. And so they submitted to him. Ali bin Abi Talib said, since he was made to lead prayer in the time of Rasul, we knew that affairs that are less than prayer automatically should go to him. So we submitted to him. Afa in mata aw qutila inqalabtum ala aqabikum wa man yanqalib ala aqibaihi falan yadurra Allah shay'a وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. So whoever backslides because the Prophet is dead and decides to go back to his old ways, then that will not hurt Allah in any way. That will not harm Allah in any way. But those who remain الشَّاكِرِينَ, that is those who remain al-mu'mineen, those who remain firm on their faith, no matter what has happened, even though this defeat has come in Uhud, they still remain firm and refuse to be weakened by that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. Allah is telling the Muslimun that since you have been patient, I will give you victory. I will give you victory, just you continue to remain patient. So whatever happens to you, whatever trial comes to you, do not be shaken. Remain faithful, remain patient, and know, be sure in your heart that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. Allah will make you victorious. It's only a matter of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. I think we've run out of time. So inshallah we'll take questions. So tomorrow we'll continue from what verse? 114. 145th verse, inshallah. This one says, what is the Islamic ruling on celebrating one's birthday as well as wishing someone a happy birthday? Well, celebrating one's birthday, this is the only one I'll answer. Celebrating one's birthday is not known in Islam at all. The birthday being the date that you were born, not even the day. What you celebrate in birthday is the date. Most people that celebrate birthday, is the date that they celebrate, not the day. It's birth date, not birthday. Because you may have been born on Sunday, but when the birth date comes, it will be on Tuesday. And then you are celebrating your birthday You have gotten it wrong. It's not your birthday. It's your birth date. That date, you counted it in accordance with what? How did you count that date? The Gregorian calendar. That's what you're using to celebrate a festival. You see, already you are drifting towards Yahudiya. It's not a teaching of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not a teaching of the Sahaba. None of the Sahaba celebrated that. The festivals that we have in the year are two. Eid al-Fitr wa Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Mawlid is what? It's Nasraniya. Marking the birth of a prophet and celebrating that day as the day he was born. This is Nasraniya. This was gotten from the Nasara. Al-Muzaffir, who started this, was said to have been interested in it because the Christians were doing it. Said, the Christians are doing it, let's also do it. So Adamu will say, if you say that is wrong, but you also report a hadith in which you say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw the Yahud in Medina marking a day. And he asked, what is it they are marking? They said they are marking the victory of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Nahnu ahakku bi Musa minhum. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, we are more qualified to celebrate Musa than they. So we will mark this day with a fast and the next day. Inshallah, if Allah spares our lives to next year, we will mark the day before and then we'll mark the day. We'll mark Ashura, but we'll also mark Tasu'a with a fast. The Shia do not believe in this hadith. That's why he said, you say this. What they do on that day is to cut themselves with knives, marking the death of Hussein. But this hadith, they do not believe in it. That's why they can't tell you this is what the Prophet did on Ashura and this is what you must do. Instead, they do something else entirely. We agree that the Prophet said that. But when they were marking that day, they said they were marking what? The birthday of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Is that what they said? Were they marking the Musa's birthday? What were they marking? His victory. That's one. Secondly, who approved of that? Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. This one, who approved of it? Marking the birth of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Who approved of that one? Huh? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are more qualified, we will mark it. The fact that he said we will mark it means Allah asked him to mark it. True or false? If you mark his birthday, who asked you to mark it? Who? Nobody. Your own is purely an innovation. So anyway, birthday, birth date, whatever. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said he was born on a Monday. So what does he do on Mondays? He fasts on Mondays. You cannot say, okay, I was born on a Sunday, so I'll fast on Sundays. Or I was born on a Saturday, so I'll fast on Saturday. Or I was born on a Friday, so I'll fast on Friday. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, you shouldn't single out Friday with a fast. You shouldn't single out Saturday with a fast. So if you were born on Saturday, you can't single out Saturday with a fast. Because you were born on Saturday. It's haram to do that. So anyway, you can't single out a day and say, I was born this day, so I'll fast on that day. No. Rasul is the messenger. He said that is from Allah. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. So if he says it, we believe it as a hadith and we follow. But we do not innovate. Therefore, please do not mark any birth date. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said he was born on a Monday. So he was interested in the day, not the date. Not the date, but the day. And he said he was born on a Monday, and so he fasted on a Monday. So even if you were allowed to mark your birthday, you would mark only your birthday, not date as they do. And what would you do? You would have fasted on the day you were born. Not chop and dance and drink and sing and all that. Say happy birthday to you. You want to know how did that start? Who sang that song? Was it Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Was it Umar bin Khattab? Was it Uthman bin Affan? Was it Ali bin Abi Talib? Was it Aisha radiallahu anha? Was it Umm Salama? Or you don't care about those? Say these are fundamentalists. Why does it have to be Arabs? Why can't it be our forefathers? You want to return to idol worship? Good luck. So we don't celebrate that. May Allah forgive us. This one says, okay, her menstrual blood stopped flowing on the second day of Ramadan. She started fasting yesterday. This was written long ago. Huh? But she said it stopped flowing on the second day of Ramadan. Huh? She says stopped. Second day of Ramadan. Stopped. Menstrual blood stopped. Second day of Ramadan. She started fasting yesterday. Ah. She started seeing blood again. Can she continue her fast or not? Although it happens this way sometimes. Okay, if it happens this way sometimes, maybe what happens to you is not that you start menstruating again. Maybe your own case is istihaba. If it happens like that sometimes, it means it's istihaba for you. It may be. So be careful first before you decide exactly what it is. Check it and seek knowledge concerning the blood of Hayd. Hayd is not like the normal blood. It's smelly, it's thick, it's coagulated, and then it's dark. So it's not like the normal blood, you know. So look at it very well and determine exactly what it is. If it is Hayd, if you are a Maliki, if you belong to the Maliki school of thought, you have to give 15 days interval between them. If it lasts more than 15 days and then you see blood again, it's a new one. If not, it's still the same. So you join it and count the number of days until they do not exceed 15. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this understood? Is it confusing? Uh-huh. But ordinarily, if you saw your menstrual blood and then you purified yourself, it stopped maybe after I don't know how many days, and then you had your bath, and then maybe this may be about 2 weeks now because you said second day, and then she's talking about yesterday again. So maybe she had her bath after the first one, continued fasting, and then yesterday again she saw it. Maybe that's because this question is actually confusing. But if that's what the person means, that she saw it again yesterday, what we know is that you menstruate once in a month, ordinarily. There are some women for whom we have such problem of the thing recurring. You thought you had purified yourself, all of a sudden you see it again within the same month. You just continue to add the days. If you believe that it shouldn't exceed 7 days, then you add the days. If they have exceeded 7 days, it may be istihaba. So you consider the rest istihaba and you continue the ibadah. But some ulama say there is no limit to it. As long as it is Hayd blood that you see, You observe it and it is height, then it is still your height. So stop fasting and then stop praying. So you add the number of days that you missed in Ramadan. After Ramadan, you pay back. I hope this is understood. Huh? Is there anything I've said which is confusing? Huh? Okay, alhamdulillah. This one says, is it true that he who visits the grave of his parents every Jumu'ah and recites Surah Yasin over them, one of them shall have his sins forgiven by the number of each verse or each letter, and the other one will go to Jahannam? No, this is not true. This hadith is not authentic. It's a lie against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you go to the grave, do not recite the Quran. The Quran is not recited over the dead. What you do is just dua. Just say a dua for them. It's not just any dua. Pray to Allah to forgive them. Don't pray for yourself there. Don't pray for yourself at the grave. Just pray for the dead only. Do we understand? That's all you do. And what you pray is you pray to Allah to forgive them. This one says, may Allah increase me and all of you in Iman. Ameen. Can a man who knows how to plait hair go into the business of plaiting hair for all women to make money? No, sir. You can't. It's not permissible. What I advise you to do is get a wife, teach her to plait hair so that she will plait for women. If there are men whose hair you can plait, go and plait for men. I'm sure he will not like to do that. So this one says, may Allah increase me in Iman and understanding. Ameen. And you too. Is it good for a woman to add relaxer to her hair to make it soft? If it's only to soften it, it's permissible. If it's going to permanently change the texture of your hair, it's better you do not. But to soften it is okay. There's no problem with that. Because especially African hair can get so tough sometimes that even combing it becomes a problem. So ordinary Vaseline sometimes softens your hair. Have you had that experience? Just put Vaseline and it softens the hair. Put Zaytun, it will soften the hair. And so on. So you can use all of these to soften the hair. And there's nothing wrong with that, inshallah. But do not change the texture of the hair completely to another thing. Be contented with the way Allah created you. Be who you are. You understand? Allah created you a black woman and gave you the tough hair that He gave black women for a reason. For a reason. He didn't just do it out of accident. It's not an accident that your hair is not like that of the Oyibo. If you now make it like that of the Oyibo, you are not satisfied with Allah's creation. That will be a problem. May Allah save us from that. This one says, may Almighty Allah make for me and my family good. Ameen. On this earth and the hereafter. And you too, my brother or sister, whoever you are. Please, is it part of the sunnah to pray with our palms widespread and also rub on our faces after the call to Adhan? When the Muazzin calls, what you say is, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'awati tamma. I do not know that it is done with the palms raised. I just know it's a zikr you say, just like other azkar, and you don't raise your palms when you're saying azkar. So you just say it as a zikr. That's what I know. But if you're saying dua ul mas'ala after that for yourself, you can raise your palms. Because the dua is said raising the palms. And it is time for dua. That time after that call is time for dua. So when you have said for the Prophet, and done the Salatu ala Nabi and said the one for the Prophet. That one is not for you. When you have done that, you want to say for yourself, you can raise your palms. But do not rub the palms on your face, because that hadith is not authentic. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna biha jannatak. Wa min al-yaqini ma tuhawinu bihi alayna masa'ib al-dunya. Wa matti'ana Allahumma bi asma'ina wa abasarina wa quwwatina abadan ma abqaytana. Waja'alhu al-waritha minna. وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.